Hello, this is Joel and
Danielle
Young with For His Glory Ministry. We welcome you again today. We are For His Glory. It's a ministry teaching through Hebrew eyes the deeper things of God. I'm a Messianic Jew, that's a Jew by race and saved by grace by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. And we've been studying the Bible since we're young, and we continue to, and I'm continuing to learn and grow, and prayerfully we're a good beginner and a good student and a lover of the Word of God and the God of the Word. Now, did you know that in Judaism, study, that's right, study is considered one of the highest forms of worship. Isn't that interesting? Study is considered one of the highest forms of worship. So one of the things to facilitate that, I recommend you consider strongly looking to get our tape teaching on learning how to learn, so you can learn procedural steps to help you mine the riches of the depths of the things of God, which will change your life for their life changing. All right? I'm introducing, of course, our brother, Dr. Truman Blocker, a wonderful brother in the Lord and guest of the show. Hello, Truman. Shalom.
Joel, Danielle, thank you. It is a pleasure, as always, to be here with you, and what a blessing it has been for me to study the Bible with the two of you.
Thank you.
Shalom, Truman.
It's
Shalom.
A pleasure. We are going into a deep study called The Sparrow of the Exodus. This is very involved. I recommend, well, we had taught this before. It's available through our website, which I'm going to ask Danielle to mention that site in a moment. It's under the title of Who We Are Created in the Image of God, called The Sparrow of the Exodus, and it's section J. And it's a six-tape series, and our website is located at
www.forhisglory.org.
Now, why were there two birds? Why were the two birds not cut in half in Genesis 15:10? Why are the two birds called the sparrow? The two birds are not called two birds. They're called one, and they're called the sparrow in Hebrew. It's an exciting study of true prophecy, and it shows us how it all relates to Jesus Christ. And remember, his eye is on you, the sparrow, and is watching over you. Amen. Amen. Brother Truman, would you lead us all in Genesis 15 and 10?
Yes, Joel, and it's exciting to read this because, as I know, there's more than this translation offers. My Genesis 15:10 says in English, "Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two, down the middle, and placed each piece opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds in two."
He did not cut the birds in two. Ve'et hatzipor lo vatar, ve'lo vatar. The term birds, we would expect that to be plural, right? That's the way we read it, right, in English. In Hebrew, it doesn't say the birds, it says the sparrow.
The sparrow.
Exactly, Danielle, the sparrow. Hatzipor.
Singular.
Singular.
Point of tension.
There we go. We call that, Truman mentioned it well, we call that a point of tension, where something is at odds when in one text with either the translation or apparent, and I stress the word apparent, with other Bible verses. And we remember in John 10:35, Jesus himself says, all Scripture, says Scriptures cannot be broken. So that's all Scripture cannot be broken, therefore cannot be changed, and it's all from one God, one author, so we ought to believe it all is one, and it has one supreme message to give to us in many parts. All right? Now, this is significant. The term is hatzipor. So in employing the concept of remez, what do we learn that remez was before?
An allusion.
Right, an allusion or a hint, right? Mm-hmm. Allusion, where you use, what is that large book that we use in
your
study?
Your concordance.
Right, and what's a concordance? Well, for the people who don't know.
The Bible with all the words rearranged.
Exactly, sounds good to me. So if you wanted to look up the sparrow, you would look it up in your concordance, and what would you find? You'd find
everywhere that sparrow is mentioned.
Good, and why would you want to know all that for?
Because you want to find out everything you can about the sparrow.
So if you only read 2 out of a supposed 10, 20 verses, what
then
would that do?
You'd miss 18 or 8.
That would be a lot to miss.
Yeah,
right?
A lot.
So here we are again, and I'm going to ask my brother to read it one more time in Genesis 15, verse 10, and then we'll go forward together. Please.
Now, of course, the context is God and Abraham cutting a covenant, and Abraham has brought various animals. So verse 10 is, then he brought all these to him, God, and cut them in two down the middle, placed each piece opposite the other. But he did not cut the bird in two.
It says the bird. So this is the covenant of Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant being cut. Because covenants were always karat, cut. Today we do them by contract in writing. There they cut through the flesh, and that's the cutting of a covenant. But it doesn't say the birds, does it? What does it say, Danny?
It says the bird.
The bird. What kind of bird?
The sparrow.
Oh, the sparrow. Okay. Hatzipor. So that's what it says. That's interesting. One of the references, when you look up, you see Moses taking a bride, Zipporah. But in Hebrew, the root of that is Tzipor. Oh, what a picture. That somehow ties in here, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because Moses is a picture of who?
Christ.
Christ. Moses does what? He redeems the nation of Israel out, the same way Christ redeems us out of the world, out of slavery, out of a fallen world. Moses takes a bride, the sparrow, Tzipporah, Tzipor, out of the land of Midian. Now, you know names mean things in the Bible too, right? Everything must mean
something.
Exactly. It must mean something. Midian means the land of strife. So what's the picture? Moses takes a bride out of the land of strife. Yeshua, Jesus, takes his bride, his church, out of the earth, a fallen world. And in the future, the church of Philadelphia, which is a picture of the church. What does Philadelphia mean? From two Greek words, phileo and adelphos. Brotherly
love.
Yeah, the city, we call it that way today, don't we? The city,
yes,
of
we do.
Brotherly love.
Mm-hmm.
Good. So we see the Church of Philadelphia mentioned in Revelation. You look at chapters 2 and 3 for the letter to all seven churches. You see the churches are spoken of, and this is the sixth of the seven churches in Revelation 3. It's a picture of the church of brotherly love. It also happens to be the only one of the seven churches that has a crown. It is the only one that is directly told that it would be kept out of the hour of trial about to come on a whole inhabited earth. It is representative of the church of the rapture, which will be taken up to heaven by the Lord himself in a pre-tribulation event. Moses here would demonstrate the law of love of a brother by marrying a woman, the daughter of Ruel. Ruel. Now, Ruel must mean something, and El is God.
Yes.
It really means a friend
of
or an
God.
Associate
wow.
of God. Say it again, a friend of...
A friend of God.
Yeah, what a picture. What a picture. Now, Abraham was also a friend of God, right? And after Sarah died in Genesis 25, 1 and 2, he took another wife, Keturah. She had six sons. The fourth son being Midian. And in the land of Midian lived a priest of Midian named Reuel with his seven daughters. Very, very, very telling pictures that we want you to see. Now, let's go a little further. What happens here? We have this woman. And I want us to develop this out here about the sparrow. All right? You're going to look and we're going to take you to another text over here dealing with Exodus chapter 2, verse 21. And we're going to see how that speaks to what we're addressing today with this study.
Then Moses was content to live with the man, and he gave Zipporah, his daughter, to Moses.
And Moses was content, also translates, and Moses was willing. So this is a choice. Moses is a picture of Jesus Christ.
Yeshua.
Okay, good. You said it better. In Hebrew, Jesus' name is Yeshua. Moses was willing. Jesus was and is always and always willing to dwell with us. We have to be willing now as his people to dwell in a land with whomever he gives us to dwell with. Now, the daughter, right, gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses. The daughter was given to Moses. Now, Zipporah, the term Zipporah is a point of reference we don't want you to miss. This is the sparrow. Now, I want to take you to another point here in Psalm 68, 11 to 14. All right, I'm going to read this for you. The Lord gives the command, the women who proclaim the good tidings are a great company. Kings of armies flee, they flee, and she who remains at home will divide the spoil. When you lie down among the sheepfolds, you are like the wings of a dove covered with silver, and its pinions with glistening gold. When the Almighty scattered the kings there, it was snowing on Tzalmon. Now, this also has a prophetic significance, and I'm just going to highlight one part of it. It's in full depth on our teaching, which you can, it's available through our ministry at our website, which is located at
www.forhisglory.org.
And please take a look at it. It's under the title of Who We Are Created in the Image of Christ, subtitled The Sparrow of the Exodus. It's part J. It's a 6-tape extensive series. Each tape will average about an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Very fully done. So the Lord gives a command. The women who proclaim the good tidings are a great company. Let me just bring something to your attention. This is in the book of Psalms, so we're antedating the New Testament by many a century, aren't we? This is basically in the time of David, so you're close to 1000 BC, plus or minus, all right, following his father Solomon. Now, the term good tidings in Hebrew is besorah. The main word, good tidings, good tiding is the same term, which will be amazing to the New Testament understanding, for gospel.
Mm-hmm.
The good news, the good tidings, those are synonymous. So what we would call in Greek, euangelion, in the Hebrew is besorah. But wait a minute. The Lord gives a command, the women who proclaim the tidings or the good tidings are a great company. Oh, that's a prophetic. Now, wait a minute. Who were the first evangelists in the Bible of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? And you get two chances. Were they men or were they women?
They were women.
What's your second chance? Were they men or were they women?
Women.
Well, you're right on both accounts. All right, good. They were women. Wait a minute. When did that happen? At the tomb, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What did they do? They were told to go tell Jesus. Who told them? Jesus told them, right? He commissioned them. Go tell my brethren that I've been raised from the dead,
right,
and I'll meet them in Galilee. Tell my brothers to meet me there. So who were the first ones to bring the good news, the besorah, the gospel of the death, burial, and now resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ to his own, to the men, and then to the rest of the world? Men or women?
Women.
Women.
That is prophetically spoken about, mm-hmm, here in the Psalms. So there's a future prophetic significance to that we should not miss. All right? It starts out with a few, and of course, by God's grace, they are spread around the world, which is wonderful. Now, there's an interesting fact with that to bring up. The term besorah is from the Hebrew root word basar, B-A-S-A-R, basar, all right? The root of that is basar, all right? B-A-S-A-R. Now, look at that word carefully, because that's the same word in Hebrew for flesh. That's your flesh, your body flesh. Why would the term for gospel be synonymous in its root with the word for flesh? What would you think? Jesus gave his, in John 6, his flesh for the world.
Yes.
And that becomes the good news that he became our sacrifice for the whole world. Isn't that amazing?
Amazing.
Now, let's look one step further. What are your letters for besorah? What is the root basar? B-S-R. Basar in English. What are our Hebrew letters? Like Beit. Shin, which is a scene. All right.
Reish.
Perfect. Now, the last two letters would form the root of this word. We're looking, people, at a deeper study to get more meat here, more understanding of what God has given us. So we're chewing. All right. Sar, you've heard of the term Sar Shalom, Prince of Peace, right?
Yes.
And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In Isaiah 9:6, in English 9:5, in Hebrew. So Prince of Peace is Sar Shalom. But wait a minute, Sar means prince, or really warrior prince, because you always became a, once you warred over it and won, you'd become a prince over what you warred and won over, right?
Right.
So Sar, Shin, Reish are the letters, is the last two of the three letters of Besora. Now, what is Beit? Beit, perfect. Beit means house. Now, put the pieces together then. Beit is house. Sar means warrior prince. Therefore, Basar, which was his flesh, the language tells you, which he designed it, tells you that the flesh will be a house for the warrior prince.
Right.
And he is our prince of peace. So his flesh, Basar, that was given for the world, would also be his house as the warrior prince, that he would win the war, 1 John 3:8. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And he did, praise God, and he warred and he won, he destroyed it, his flesh took our sin. And so Basar, which is flesh, is Beit, Shin, Reish, or Sar, the house, Beit, Bait, like Bethlehem, Beit Lechem, house of bread, Bethlehem, Beit Lechem. So Beit is house, Sar is warrior prince, the house of the warrior prince, Basar, is his flesh, Basar, which was given for the world to become the good news, the gospel, Besora.
Wow.
Which the women were the first ones to give that gospel message to the world, because the warrior prince was now raised from the dead. And they all said,
Amen.
Oh, it's just wonderful what's in this
great
Bible, people.
Mm-hmm.
This is all there. And if we explore what is the breadth and a length and a height and a depth, we'll be able to see things we have never, ever seen before. Now let's go back to that Genesis 15, all right? Let's take a look at those verses carefully, and I'm going to have my brother read verse before, starting at 9 and 10. So Truman, read verse 9 and 10 of Genesis 15 to put the context back together, and let's take a look at what were these two birds that are called one bird.
Let's see, starting with verse 9, so he said to him, that's God speaking, so he said to him, Abraham, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two, down the middle, and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the bird in two.
Right. Now we look at this. Jesus cut his covenant, right, in his blood. His blood was spilled. His own body was cut to pieces, verily torn asunder. Each of the animals in Genesis 15:9, the heifer, the female goat, the ram, all 3 years old. How old were they? Wait a minute. Read that again in 9.
3-year-old heifer, 3-year-old female goat, 3-year-old ram.
Interesting. His ministry was 3.5 years,
mm-hmm.
wasn't it?
Yes.
Interesting. Must mean
something.
No doubt something. The birds, the turtle dove is a noun singular female. Young pigeon is a noun singular masculine. So you have singulars, male and female, were each left whole. All died, yet only two were left as one by virtue of the fact of Hebrew in verse 10, they were not cut. Now your mind got it just real, because all covenants have to be cut. Blood has to be spilled. They were killed, but not cut. The two birds in Hebrew are seen as one bird,
mm-hmm.
and not a bird. Not Tzipor has the definite article in Hebrew before it, which makes it the bird, ha Tzipor. So we're talking about a unique one, the bird, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to look at that very, very, very carefully. Now study this out carefully. I'll give you another reference of Jeremiah 34:18. Truman, would you read that for us all? Please?
It says, and I will give the men who have transgressed my covenant, who have not performed the words of the covenant which they have made before me, when they cut the calf in two and passed between the parts of it.
People, this is a deep study. You have to study it very carefully, because realize something very important here. These two birds are not being cut, torn asunder. So you have to see that as a prophecy in which the two, the Jew and the Gentile, will be seen as one. Remember what we have for Pentecost, Shavuot, on the holy days of Israel, where we have the two loaves of bread on one sheet? Jew and Gentile together were seen as one. We're taken out of a foreign land, out of this world, like Moses taking the bride, the sparrow, out of the foreign land and leading her out one day to come back to be led by her father. All right, Jethro, which means a man of excellence. So Christ will come for his church, comprised of two groups that he makes as one, Jew and Gentile together, brings us together. So God's faithfulness and not ours. It's God's faithfulness according to his covenant with Moses. He brings us into a new relationship in a new covenant here together, and he restores us. So we have a Jew and a Gentile. The birds are not cut. They're not torn asunder. He, in his body, takes the place for the sparrow himself. He himself is the one that's torn asunder for his own bride, for his own tzipora, if you will, his own sparrow. And you should then remember very carefully when the Lord says, "You're worth more than many sparrows to me," as you come all the way through into the New Testament, because unless we realize that, in Luke 12, 6 and 7, are not two sparrows sold for an asarion? This has got this soul. But God says, what the world thinks you're not worth much, you are to me, because you, those two are, God is showing us, covenants are cut. They're not cut. It is the sparrow, like Moses married the sparrow, Christ the Redeemer is going to take the place of, he will be torn and two for us, so we are not hurt. He takes the hurt, the pain, gives us the healing, makes the two one. We are that sparrow. He talks about sparrow in the New Testament, expecting you to know everything about sparrow that he's already said, if we're listening and paying attention to everything he said, and said, "I will be cut in two for you. I am your sacrifice. I am the one for my bride, male and female." He's making us all one together through his sacrifice unto the Father. So that's a beginning understanding. You are worth more than many sparrows to God. He has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten you. He took your place and mine. As the covenant with Abraham, by becoming the sparrow for you and for me. So the sparrow of Genesis 15, the sparrow of the Exodus, is a prophecy. And that's very important to remember. And if we violate the terms of that, then the curses of that come upon us. If we honor it and accept the Lord, then we can move into the blessings with the Lord himself. God, this is a deep study. You got to get the tapes. It's just too much there, and you'll need the time to study it. And they all said, Amen.